Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 21. Our scripture text will come from verses 1 through 4. Perhaps a familiar passage of scripture is Jesus is inside near the temple treasury or the court of women and made some observations of some that were coming to bring their tithes and offerings. And I think that you'll enjoy this message. It's a message of encouragement, encouraging us to what God can do through us. Not what we can do, but what God can do with what we have to give. I hope that you enjoy this message entitled, Your 2 Cents.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word. Here's Pastor Paul Blair.
And he looked up and saw the rich man, beginning in verse 1, chapter 21, verse 1, Luke 21, 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury, her poverty, her want hath cast in all the living that she had. It was now the very end. It was deep into the Passion Week. Within 24 hours, Jesus would be making his way towards the upper room to enjoy one last Passover supper with his disciples. Within 36 hours, he'd be arrested in Gethsemane, and within 48 hours, he would utter his final words, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus was at this time preparing to depart from the temple complex, his home by right, but now he was preparing to leave Mount Moriah for the last time until he returns again at Armageddon. He had just delivered a stinging rebuke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians and the scribes, calling them hypocrites and snakes and whited sepulchers, and he said, I'm leaving this house destitute. It's yours now. He would now walk across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives and teach a small group of his disciples the sermon that we know as the Olivet Discourse pertaining to 2 coming judgments upon Jerusalem. This was the week of the Passover. Jerusalem was teeming with people. Tomorrow would be the preparation day when the Passover lamb would be slain in the temple. As he was leaving the temple complex, he made note of the people that were lined up bringing different types of offerings to God. And Jesus took note of one particular gift. Now the text said that there were many rich men lined up here. Please bear with me as I exercise just a little bit of creative license to set the scene for you. Here was a successful Pharisee businessman giving maybe a $10,000 offering. The people were impressed with the size of this gift, and I'm sure he told his friends about it, and they would ooh and ah at his incredible generosity. But after his gift was given, he still had hundreds of thousands of dollars more. I can imagine a multimillionaire Sadducee giving a $100,000 offering while announcing it to those friends of his that were there in attendance with him. But this multimillionaire still had tens of millions left over in a savings account. Then, quietly and discreetly, a woman who came alone with perhaps a child in her arms as her husband had died, a poor woman who was working hard, barely scraping by, comes to the place where she was to give her offering unto the Lord, and she reached into her change purse, and I can imagine having to maybe stick her whole hand in there and reach around into the corners, first not finding anything in there because there wasn't much in there, but then finally locating these 2 coins that she knew was there, and she pulled out these 2 pennies, her last two pennies and she placed them on the gift table. It was this gift that caught Jesus' eye. Amen. Folks, let me make a point here. Those bringing offerings did not do wrong. Jesus did not criticize any of them. But, you see, ladies and gentlemen, God is not impressed with what you have to give. God is pleased with your giving Him what you have. God has created you for a purpose. God has created you for His glory. God has created you to be the recipient of the gift of eternal life, but He won't force that upon you. That's your choice. God has created you unto good works. That is your calling. That's what we're left here for. But again, it's our choice as to whether we're obedient or not. And God has equipped each and every one of us with certain resources and talents and abilities to give back to Him in service as a part of the body of Christ. All that you have is because of Him. Amen. You may say, well, what talents do I have? I'm not rich. I'm not a gifted speaker. I'm not handsome. I'm not strong. What do I have that God needs? To that, let me answer. God is not bankrupt. He owns all that the eye can see. God is not void of beauty, for He created the rainbow and the rose. God is not void of strength, for His power sustains all of creation. But what God needs is you. He's not looking for what you have in the bank. You're not qualified by how many diplomas you have on the wall. But whatever you have to give, give it to God. Consider Moses. You know the story of Moses. As a baby hid in the bulrushes, found by Pharaoh's daughter and raised in Pharaoh's household. As he grew up knowing that he was a Jew, Moses stepped forward one day as a powerful leader ready to deliver Israel, but the Jews would not follow and Moses fled Egypt having been exposed as disloyal. Then 40 years had passed and he was no longer a leader of men. He was no longer a leader of an empire. He was now a leader of sheep. He was the most humble of all professions. He was a shepherd. And God appeared unto him through the miraculous fire that burned a bush without destroying it and called Moses to do this great job for him. He said, Moses, go as my representative and deliver my people, Israel, from bondage in Egypt. And Moses then gave God every reason, good reasons, mind you, why he couldn't do the job. Now here was Moses, an 80-year-old shepherd. He no longer had an army. He no longer had vast resources of wealth. He no longer had the respect and admiration of men. By the world standards, Moses had nothing. But God said to him, Moses, what is that in thine hand? Amen. It's just a rod, God. It's just a stick. It's a walking stick. A stick that I use to lean on, to hold myself upright. A stick I use to defend myself from animals. A stick I use to guide the sheep and keep them in line. Ladies and gentlemen, all Moses had was that stick. Moses could have used that stick and kept it for himself. He could have kept it for him and his own purpose. He could have used it to tend his own sheep. He could have used it to defend himself. He could have used it to maybe gather a wealth of livestock. But God said, give it to me, Moses, and see what I can do with it. All Moses had was a stick. But he was willing to give God what he had. And that stick in Moses' hands became the rod of God. And with Moses, God used it to turn the Nile River into blood, to call up the dust of lice plagues from the river, to turn the dust into lice, to rain hail down from heaven that burned with fire, to bring a plague of locusts to devour the land of Egypt, to divide the Red Sea, to strike the rock in Horeb and bring forth living water, and to defeat the Amalekites. Moses, what is that in thine hand? It's only a stick, Lord. Certainly doesn't seem like much. Other people have sticks, Lord. Lord, I need this stick for myself. I need this stick to keep my balance. I'm old. I can't tend my sheep without this stick. I can't defend myself without this stick. But God asked Moses to give him what he had. Give me that stick, Moses. And Moses didn't have much, but what he did have, he gave to God. And look what God did with it. You say, what do I have that God can use? Here's what God wants. God wants you and what's ever in your hand. God is not looking for the best looking. God is not looking for the most talented. God is not looking for the wealthiest. God is looking for someone's who are willing to give their all to Him. I hope you're listening. Consider Mary of Bethany. What did Mary have? Not much. She didn't even own her own home. She lived in the house with her sister. She didn't have a husband or a child. But through the years, she'd scrimped and saved up and had a precious alabaster box of perfume, a precious commodity. Apparently, Mary had been the only one listening to the words of Jesus, as she was the only one that seemed to get the fact that He was going to be slain in Jerusalem. But what could she do? What could she do about it? What did she have to give Jesus? Nothing, except an alabaster box of perfume. She had this beautiful, fragrant ointment. And the Bible says that she broke the seal and anointed the head and the feet of Jesus. Others criticized her, saying, what a waste of talent. What a waste of your money. You know, you didn't have a lot to begin with, and you wasted it on Jesus. But Jesus praised her, and what did He say? She did what she could. Folks, you don't have any secrets from God. God knows what He's called you to do. And God knows what gifts and talents and resources He has entrusted to you. God doesn't measure you against other people. He only wants you and all that you have to give to Him. Mary didn't have much, but she gave what she did have to Jesus. It's another story of a young boy lived in the north in the region of the Galilee, adjacent to the Sea of Galilee. I can picture one day him going to his mother and saying, "Mama, I'd like to go spend the day with Jesus." And being a good mother, she said, "Well, that'll be fine, dear, but let me pack a lunch for you first." After a wonderful day of compassionate healing and wonderful preaching and teaching by the Lord Jesus, the boy began to grow hungry. Others were hungry as well. But what could he do about it? How could he possibly help with such a great multitude of 5,000 men plus women and children? While he was just a small boy, he had no riches. He had no credit card. All he had was lunch for one, his lunch. He could have taken his lunch and eaten it by himself, sustained his own needs for a while. But instead, he took what little he had and he gave it to Jesus. And over 20,000 people, including himself, were blessed because of it. Folks, when Zerubbabel was getting discouraged with the work that God had called him to do and the rebuilding of the temple after the return from exile, God encouraged him in Zechariah 4:6 and said, "It is not by might and it's not by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Folks, it's not by our power. It's our commitment. God took all that little boy had to give, which wasn't much, but with God's blessings, He fed the multitude and still had leftovers. Christ is not looking for famous movie stars to tell others about Him. He's looking for you. He's looking for you and whatever's in your hand. Christ is not depending on multimillionaires to give a $1 million donation to our building program. Just like that boy with his lunch, if we give ourselves to Jesus, you just watch what He can do with it. Consider Gideon, the smallest boy from the puniest family of the puniest tribe of all of Israel, down by the wine press, threshing, poor family, run to the litter. God said, "Hail, mighty man of valor." Gideon said, "Who, me?" God said, "Gideon, I've got a job for you." What did Gideon have to offer? Folks, let me tell you what Gideon had to offer. He had a pitcher, he had a lamp, and he had a trumpet. And with Gideon and 300 men, with nothing more than pitchers, lamps, and trumpets, God defeated the host of the Midianite invaders that looked like locusts covering the northern part of Israel. God's not impressed with what you have. God wants you to give what you have to Him. Consider Shamgar. You say, "Who's that?" Good question. He's the third judge of Israel, mentioned in the book of Judges. Only one verse is dedicated to Shamgar. But what does it say? He was a judge during a time of Philistine oppression. And it says that Shamgar had nothing with which to defend his people except an ox goad. What's that? Something an old farmer uses to go out and keep the oxen in line. They start to turn away or don't want to work. When they're in there pulling the plow. Hey, let me poke you a little bit and get going. We use one of those for our teenagers. But what was the point? Why did they mention this? One verse of scripture, it says that Shamgar defeated 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Hey, God wasn't looking for Shamgar to develop some M1 tank or a new AK-47. God wasn't depending on Shamgar to have the finest cutlery, the finest sword. All God was looking for was Shamgar and his obedience and to give what he had in his hand, which was nothing but an ox goad, and God took it and blessed it, and through God, they gained the victory and defeated 600 Philistines. Consider David, the youngest in his family, the runt of his family to begin with, doing the most humble of jobs for the family, out watching his father's sheep. All the other brothers had more important callings. Yet God had a job for David to do. And when this uncircumcised Philistine was out profaning the God of Israel and defaming the children of God, there were none of the men of Israel that were willing to go out and stand against him. With all of their armor and all of their weaponry, none of them would go out and stand. What did David have? Nothing but a slingshot. Hey, it wasn't what David had that God needed. God just wanted David's obedience and David's willingness to give God what he had. David, what do you got there? Slingshot? That's enough. Let's go, son. Amen. God, how many rocks should I take? Well, you're only going to need one for Goliath, but go ahead and pick up four more in case his brothers want any piece of you. Amen. David gave God all that he had to give, which wasn't much by the world's standards. But that's what God wants. God's not impressed with how much we have to give. God wants it all. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to say that God does not need the super wealthy and the super intelligent or the super talented. He can use them too, but God uses everybody. God is looking for you and whatever you happen to have in your hands to serve him. What can you do, Moses? All you have is a stick in your hands. You're nothing but a shepherd in the wilderness. You have no beauty. You have no wealth. You have no army. But what Moses did have, he gave to God, and God used it to birth a nation. Hey, what can you do, Mary? You don't have much at all. You don't have a husband. You don't have a child. You don't have much material wealth, but you do have a little bottle of perfume. Now, you could save it for yourself for your wedding day. You could use it for months to make yourself smell more beautiful. But instead, Mary gave it what she had to God, and her name is remembered throughout history. Hey, boy, what do you have there? 5 loaves and 2 fish? Just a small lunch? Not much. You don't have any money, do you, son? You don't have any kind of a career or any kind of a notoriety. What do you have there, boy? I've got a lunch, sir. And this boy gave his lunch to Jesus, and Jesus blessed and fed tens of thousands with it. Folks, what do you have? Well, I'm a housewife. What can I give to God? Mary of Bethany is famous for using her pots and pans and feeding Jesus and the disciples. The widow of Zarephath baked for Elijah. Why don't you give your pots and pans to God? What do you mean, Pastor? We need cookies up here for our kids and our Awana group. Why don't you do that for God? But that's not much. What's God equipped you with? Give what you have to God. God didn't call you, dear lady, to be the pastor of this church. God called me to do that. God didn't call you to lead the truck stop ministry. God raised up a Jerry Brown to do that, and he's raising up others. What did God call you to do? What has God gifted you with? What has God equipped you with? Whatever it is, what is that in my hand? Whatever it is, give it to God. You know, we used to have a dear lady, Breda Frisbee, and she would bake the most phenomenal cookies and things, and our visitation teams would take them out, and on the way to visit families, they would eat the cookies themselves. No. No, but that's a great gift when we have people that come and visit our church. You have the ability to bake. We could use that. We could have little treats, and when we go and visit those that are visitors, we can give them a little gift, and they'll think even more warmly of Fairview Baptist Church. You say, well, Brother Pastor, I can't bake. Do you have some spare time? Can you write cards? Can you write a letter to those in your Sunday school class that perhaps have missed a few times? Can you perhaps write a letter of encouragement to Eleanor McClennan as she's going through a grieving process? Can you write a letter to call up and talk to Sue and say, Sue, what visitors did we have this week? Can I get a couple of their addresses? I'd like to write them a letter and welcome them to our church and hope that they come back. I can't bake, Pastor. Do you have time? Can you write? Can you type? Can you email? What can you do with that stick, Moses? What can you do with that lunch, little boy? What can you do with that slingshot, David? Hey, give it to God and watch what God can do with it. Right. Say, Pastor, I can't drive anymore. I don't have the strength to get out and make visits like I once did. Let me ask you, do you have a phone? Amen. Give it to God. Why don't you call our church family that's missing? Call our church family that's struggling. Call our church family that's sick. Call those that are absent and need to be called upon. Call those that visit and just chat with them. Say, hey, I wasn't there Sunday because I'm under the weather, but how did you enjoy church? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Say, I'm too young or too old to do much, but I do have some time. Did you pray for me today? Have you prayed for members of our church family today? Knowing that every Sunday morning, Brother Jerry is going to be down there and Brother Jim's going to be down there preaching to a bunch of lost truck drivers. Saw 105 professions of faith last year. Hey, I can't do much, Pastor. I can't drive. I can't do this, can't do that. Can you pray? What a privilege we have to pray. Amen. Can you pray for the truck stop ministry? Can you pray for our sick? Can you go through our prayer list that we get on Wednesday nights and go down name by name and line by line? Can you go through our church directory, and we're getting ready to have a new updated directory? Can you go through our directory and through a systematic process pray for each family and each member of our family? Oh, Pastor, that's not much. Hey, God wants you to give Him what you have. Amen. Say, Pastor, I don't have any money, but I've got some tools and some ability. Why don't you give that to God? I'm so thankful. I had a meeting with a man this week that offered this, and I haven't promoted it yet, but he said, you know, I'm not a skilled finished carpenter, but I can do carpentry. I can fix hot water heaters. I can do this and do that. We've got some folks in our home, in our church that need some help. I'd like to go help them. You know, we've got some wonderful elderly folks, senior saints, from a generation that didn't ask people for help. They were used to pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps, rolling up their sleeves and tackling a task. But now they're at a point where they need some help, but they're still too stubborn to ever ask for it. Hey, we need some of you. If you've got some ability to where you can go fix a leaky faucet or change a washer on a sink or something along those lines, obviously you can tell by my lingo, I can't do any of that. Thank God. I taught my wife long ago when we were first married. I tried to fix one thing. Wound up costing us twice as much to fix it after I got done with it. Amen. And she has ceased asking me to fix anything. We just called to have it done. Heard a story of a lady that was boiling hot water on her stove and carrying it down the hallway to warm her bath because the hot water heater in that part of the house wasn't working. But she didn't want to be a bother and was afraid it might cost too much to have it fixed. Hey, we've got men in this church that may not have money, but they've got some tools, some time, and ability. If that's what you have to give, hey, Mr. Pharisee, with your $100,000, hey, congratulations, but I'm more impressed with this lady. She only had two mites, but she was willing to give it all to Jesus. You say, but I'm only a teenager. I don't have money. But I do have a strong back and some extra time. I can mow a yard. Or I can paint a fence. Or clean out gutters. Or some of our young ladies may go over to some of our older ladies and help them clean house one day a month or one day every other week. Folks, you don't realize what kind of a service and what kind of a ministry that can be. Yes, we are all to be soul winners. We are all to be salt and light. We are to live a life that will draw people to Jesus. However, there are some gifted men that are soul winners, like a Jerry Brown. And we may have some that are maybe not that quite outgoing. Hey, God still wants to use you in a multitude of different ways. You like to talk? Join Evangelism Explosion. We have gone through many soul winning programs in this church, and they are all valuable, like having different tools in your toolbox that you know how to use. But EE is tremendous because it teaches you on-the-job training. You get taught the guideline of how to share your testimony and how to share the gospel clearly and concisely. And then you have the opportunity to go out with experienced visitors and see how it's done. And little by little, learn how it's done. And be brought into that process. Be brought into the fold of being a soul winner. If you, why don't you participate in that? We're getting ready to start another semester. You say, I don't talk well. Neither did Moses. But take some tracts with you. Hand them out. When you're at the restaurant, leave one for your waiter. When somebody comes and knocks on your door and visits, drop something off at your office, give them a tract. Invite them to church. If you're not comfortable talking to them in detail, invite them. Hey, let me talk to them. Rumor has it I can talk. You say, I want to teach, but Pastor, we don't have room to teach. You're right. Praise the Lord, we've got a full building. Every Sunday school room is taken. We don't have room to grow as far as our classes right now. We're trying to grow in numbers. That's why we've moved an auditorium class in here. But if you want to teach somebody, why don't you teach somebody individually? What do you mean? Why don't you be a mentor? Hey, you've been married 25 years, been married 30 years, been married 50 years. Why don't you take one of these young couples under your wing, invite them over for dinner every now and then, and teach them how to be godly parents.
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. And as we leave today, just be thinking, have you given your 2 cents yet? Well, until next time, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.